ESPN Radio, 92.5 1300. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us on this Morris Day of the Time Tuesday. And what time is it? We're going to tell you it's Flacco time in just a minute. Hey, the electricity is back on today, even during a monsoon. The electricity is back on, so I can read your text today, 859-381-1313. Feel free to text. We'll try to catch up on, it felt like everybody from our show texted yesterday. We'll catch up with yesterday's and today's text, 859-381-1313. Follow us on the social medias at BottomLineLex, and you can email us, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. But it is Tuesday. It is week, what is it, six of the NFL season coming up? Yes, week six coming up. It's time now. Head-to-head records, how are you doing in your fantasy leagues? How is that number one draft pick going? But we need help. And with that, it is the Jimmy part of the Matthew and Jimmy Show, weekdays at 10 here on ESPN Radio. It is Jimmy Phillips, our fantasy football guru. Jimmy, how are you today, sir?
Doing great with some breaking news in the middle of a Tuesday, the Flacco news dump.
The fighting Flaccos? You mean to tell me that the Bengals? Is that right? Tell us about this breaking news, Jimmy.
Yeah, so about 45 minutes ago or so, it came out. Bengals are getting Joe Flacco and a sixth-round pick and trading away a fifth. I've seen mixed reviews from, I don't know if it's Bengals fans, but just people on Twitter saying, why didn't they go after Jameis or Russell Wilson? I feel like I'd probably say Flacco over Russ, but Jameis Winston would have been fun with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Just from a selfish fantasy football point of view, I would have rather had Jameis, but we'll see. It's not a giant splash. Like, I don't know if this necessarily means, oh, Ja'Marr Chase's season is saved, but it's better than what we had, assuming.
The odds on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl before the trade was 500 to 1. The current odds on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl are 500 to 1. Joe Flacco has not moved the meter out in the desert, but we're not as worried about that as we are certain other players on the Bengals. We've been complaining on this show all season long. Ja'Marr Chase bust. T. Higgins on the side of a milk carton. Chase Brown overrated. What is the addition of Joe Flacco do for those three highly fantasy drafted players?
I feel like with Chase Brown, I don't know if anything changes. And that's what's hard with, we haven't seen it. I mean, you assume, oh, well, this is going to be great. But we also thought that for some of like the Cleveland Browns pass catchers, we thought Jerry Jeudy was going to be great to start the year, or David Njoku or someone, but they really hadn't had anyone. So you hope it's going to be more just that Joe Flacco's, he's not afraid. He'll let it rip. Now, in his old age, we don't know how much letting it rip is going to be this year, but I think it gets you more confident in Ja'Marr Chase a little bit with T. Higgins, but Chase Brown, it's like that offensive line is still the offensive line, and then that goes back to, well, Joe Flacco's literally a statue in the backfield. So I don't know. At least if I have Ja'Marr Chase in one league, I feel more confident now than I did last week with Jake Browning. I mean, you knew eventually he was going to have one of those two touchdown games. I think we talked about it last week that Ja'Marr Chase is still going to have some of those Ja'Marr Chase games. But if you're T. Higgins, I mean, you don't know. Maybe for all we know, Flacco and Higgins could have that connection. This is going to be a very interesting week to see the Bengals.
Conventional wisdom says any quarterback with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins out there should be worth their weight in fantasy. Mm. If you were picking Flacco right now, where would you rank him about quarterbacks? Because we don't even know when he's going to play. Is he going to play this week? Probably not. But when is he going to play going forward? Does this kind of maybe affect how you look at quarterbacks?
I was, as soon as I saw this, and of course, initially, I'm like, oh, this is great for Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. But then I started thinking, okay, with bye weeks coming up, what does this do with Joe Flacco? I mean, I still don't think, just because it doesn't necessarily translate directly, like you could have a receiver like Ja'Marr Chase could have a great game, but that doesn't mean the starting quarterback, like Jake Browning, you weren't going to go run and start him just because you had Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. But I don't know. If if the Bengals want to just air it out, I think after a couple weeks we'll be able to. Now, I'm saying don't go out and just get Joe Flacco right now. But he could be, you know, a decent bye week replacement if we have one of those big bye weeks coming up in a couple weeks.
T. Higgins has been a no-show this year. And when I say a no-show, he literally, he is not even a playable player in fantasy right now. Because we drafted him second, third round. He was a very high draft pick. And after five games this year, he has 158 yards receiving. Oof. Do we finally think that he is? I've seen him dropped in some leagues. Is this a time now where you may be saying, maybe I could get T. Higgins on the cheap and maybe he's worth something going forward?
He is one that would be a very interesting trade for. I feel like if you do it, it's a giant leap, and it's one of those, if you want to risk it to get the biscuit, because if he has, say he has a big game this week against the Packers, if Joe Flacco, I mean, I could see Flacco starting this week. I mean, we saw Baker Mayfield on 2 days' notice with the Rams a couple years ago. He started, and they won the game. So I could see Flacco starting this week. It could be more of like a, you know, bare-bones kind of offense. But if T. Higgins has a decent week this week, even if it's, you know, he doesn't score, but he's got seven catches, 80 yards. Whoever has T. Higgins, they're not going to let him go for cheap. So if you do it, it's going to be risky, but it could be one that ends up paying off, because – like we've seen before, yes, Ja'Marr Chase is the alpha, but we saw Joe Flacco. When he finds who he likes, last year or 2 years ago, it was David Njoku when he was with the Browns. I mean, it was just hyper-targeting David Njoku towards the end of the year. So if you want to risk it and you've got some other depth at wide receiver, I think that would be a good risk to take.
You lost me at risk it to get the biscuit. After that, everything was just Charlie Brown teacher after that. Bengals currently 14.5-point road dog at Green Bay this week. Jake Browning still listed as a starter by your friends of the desert. So I'm like you. I don't think Flacco's playing this week unless it's an absolute emergency. So we'll see what happens going forward. But breaking news, the Bengals now have Joe Flacco, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. That should tell you absolutely nothing when going forward. But let's look at some other fantasy things going on in this world of fantasy football. Speaking of quarterbacks, Mac Jones and Brock Purdy. Do we have a quarterback controversy in San Francisco right now? And should both of these guys be playable if they're starting?
I would say I don't think they're near like the QB1 territory. Like, I don't see either of them fit. Maybe, well, I say all that to say it, Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings, those are big indicators whether or not they could be, you know, QB1s, where if all the receivers and weapons are healthy, George Kittle could be coming back in the next couple weeks. They're definitely startable. I would say Brock Purdy over Mac Jones. Yes, Mac Jones had a big week against the Rams, but Purdy's just more consistent. I feel like you're going to be able to trust him a little bit more. But, you know, if you've got a bye week and you need a quarterback, you could do much worse, as we saw Mac Jones last week. I mean, no one saw that coming, but a serviceable performance. They get you 14, 15 points as a bye week replacement. I think either of them could do it. It will help a lot if you get Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall. And I have not seen any news today. Kind of one of those things when they're a West Coast team and we're on the East Coast, we're not going to get the practice updates till a little bit later. But, you know, they're kind of in that middling tier for whether or not you can start them. I wouldn't be rushing to start them. I wouldn't want to start them. But if I had to, I think you could do much worse in a pinch.
These are guys I'm looking to kind of filter in and out as available, so to speak, going forward. Mac Jones is would put up just as good a numbers as Brock Purdy, if you ask me. But that's you being a 49ers fan. So I don't know if I trust you. What about another quarterback situation? Carson Wentz somehow won in London over the weekend. Looks like he might be a little bit injured. J.J. McCarthy, is he ready to come back? Are we looking at some quarterback situations in Minnesota coming up?
Yeah, that's another one where, and same with Mac Jones and Brock Purdy, both of them are hurt. And I think if both of them were the starter and they had another backup, neither of them would be playing. Similar with Carson Wentz and J.J. McCarthy. They're both banged up. I don't know if I'm wanting to start. I mean, Sam Darnold, he's got Jacksonville. I'm sorry, I said Sam Darnold. I don't know if I would. if I would want to start either of them. Just J.J. McCarthy, he had that one big second, really just that one fourth quarter where he looked decent, but I would not be feeling great about my roster if I've got J.J. McCarthy or Carson Wentz, just because Carson Wentz could give you one of those games where he's got four turnovers, and that can just kill your quarterback week. Last week, I think he ended up with 14 and a half points. And I think that's about what you're going to get with Carson Wentz every week. There's a chance he could have a huge game. Justin Jefferson could take a screen pass 80 yards. But I think about 14, 15 points with Carson Wentz is what you're going to get.
Let's get to some running backs now. L.A. Chargers, Omarion Hampton. He's officially on injured reserve now. He's out at least four games. What do we do with the Chargers running backs here? And is it worth getting involved and spending either a big waiver wire pick or some free agent money on these guys?
I have a feeling Hassan Haskins is going to be the one. This could end up being a situation similar to Arizona, where everyone thought it was DeMarcado because DeMarcado was just the backup to whoever was the starter there. So he was kind of getting those third down passing game reps. I think that's going to be Vidal is going to take, he's going to keep his same role being the third down back, being the passing game back. But Hassan Haskins, who, by the way, played under Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, and Jim Harbaugh has been very complimentary through off seasons talking about Haskins. So I think he's going to be the one getting the main portion of the work. It could be closer to a 50-50 split. So it's one of those. Haskins would be the one to me that I would go after, just because who's going to get the goal line work? Who's going to get the majority of the carries? Similar to Michael Carter in Arizona last week. That news broke after this show Tuesday. Of course it did. But I would say Haskins over Vidal with that, just because I like hearing what the coaches say. Jim Harbaugh, having coached him before, I think Haskins would be the main back getting the majority of the carries there.
You mentioned it, the Arizona quarter running back situation. And the man who cost me $18 million at the Circa Survivor contest. What do we do with Carter now? Is this is he officially the number one? Or are we still looking around? And do we just drop this other guy who cost me $18 million like he's third period French?
Yeah, I don't see DeMarcado really getting worked back in too much. There were some people saying they should just straight cut him. He shouldn't even be on the team anymore. But I think he's definitely going to be in the doghouse of Jonathan Gannon and give him a little punch in the chest on the sideline. But Michael Carter seems to be more than serviceable. I mean, he stepped in, and he's done it before. He was on the practice squad before last week, but last year, whenever James Conner went down, he actually got some work, and he had, you know, a pretty good game with that last year. So I think Carter, he's number one on my waiver wire pickup this week. If he's there, he's rostered sleeper. I think it's a little bit above 50%. ESPN, it's about 42%. So he's teetering right on that 50% range where you definitely need to check. If he's out there, he would be the guy for Arizona.
Houston has an interesting running back situation. Nick Chubb is leading the team in rushing. Last week, the big kind of pickup was Woody Marks. Now we see Joe Mixon. We don't know if he's going to be back anytime soon. What do we do about the Houston running backs? Who's the guy to own right now there?
I would say just for the upside and the future, it's Woody Marks. Nick Chubb is just always going to be there. Now, Woody Marks had 7 carries this last week, whereas the week before he had 17. But then you look at that game against Tennessee. Was that more of just the game script of how the game went? What are we looking there? Because that's the outlier. For the rest of the season, Woody Marks has had 3 carries, 3 carries, 6. And then he had that 17, boom, and then back down to 7. And only one target in the receiving game against Baltimore. Now, that was a blowout. That game was never in question. So those are kind of tough to look at the snap counts of those games. But moving forward, the upside is there with Woody Marks.
There you go. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor and some fantasy football prop culture discussion with our friend Jimmy from the Matthew and Jimmy Show. All right, let's get to a couple of receivers now. We saw Sunday night very interesting receivers for Buffalo. Keon Coleman, he wasn't playing. What do we do about the Buffalo receivers? Because whoever is the number one guy is going to get a lot of touchdowns, we think, from Josh Allen.
Yeah, they're one of those receiving cores, and it seems like Kansas City, when Rashee Rice is not out there, obviously he's the alpha, he's the one that you want when he's there. But when he's not there, it's like Mahomes just spreads the ball around, and that's what Josh Allen does. Dalton Kincaid will have a game. The week before, Khalil Shakir will have a big game. Keon Coleman will catch a touchdown every now and then. But they have talent. It's just they don't have that alpha. And when you don't have that one go-to guy, there's really, you know, it's kind of, you have to get lucky kind of and pick the week that who's going to get what, because Dalton Kincaid, we've seen that. I had him last year. He was one of those tight ends last year. He was going to have a breakout. He did not. And I feel like their receiving core is one of those. Shakir is the good PPR guy because he's the one that gets the close to the line of scrimmage targets. He can make a big play. So if there's one, I mean, Khalil Shakir, he's not going to be available in waivers, and likely Keon Coleman isn't either. But they're a receiving core that I don't feel great about. It's hard to be committed and feel convicted with one guy saying he's going to be the one this week for sure.
Yeah, Dalton Kincaid currently leading the team in receiving yards, and that's a very telltale sign when you have guys like Coleman and Shakir, that Kincaid, the tight end, averaging 14.4 yards of reception, much more than the receivers, is leading this team receiving. So there you go. Let's look at some guys maybe. Do you believe or do you not believe? Is it are we on to something or are we just on something? What about Rico Dowdell, the running back for Carolina?
I absolutely love Rico Dowdell, and he's got a revenge matchup this week against the Cowboys. They let him walk last year. And there's some talk online. You know, you're looking, Chuba Hubbard, he was great last year, but Rico Dowdell, just in that one game, I believe now has more rushing yards than Rico Dowdell did, Chuba Hubbard did to the first 3-4 weeks of the year. So it all depends on Chuba Hubbard's health. If Chuba is out, I think Rico Dowdell is going to be another RB1 this week. I think he's due in for another big game. Of course, this all hinges on Chuba Hubbard. Is he going to play? Another situation, Jaylen Warren in Pittsburgh is very similar with that. And we're going to be eyeing the practice reports today.
Washington, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, 283 yards rushing so far this year, but the league leader in yards per attempt, 6.6 yards every time he gets the ball. Do we believe in him as a starter in fantasy the rest of the way?
I believe, this is kind of like the cop-out answer, I believe in the upside of Kroski-Merritt, but Chris Rodriguez is still there. You don't know, are they going to change week to week? But again, similar to Woody Marks, the big play potential and what would make the offense better and more explosive, it's absolutely Jacory Kroski-Merritt over Chris Rodriguez. So I think moving forward, and now we saw what the offense looks like again with Jaden Daniels starting compared to Marcus Mariota. Jacory Kroski-Merritt had another big game. Jaden Daniels come back. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think the offense, obviously, when you've got Jaden Daniels back out there, runs a lot more smoothly, if you will. So I like Jacory Kroski-Merritt going forward. I'm going to need to see it a couple weeks in a row to see, like, is he a certified, solidified, like, RB1, keep him in your lineup every week.
Let's go back to your 49ers. A receiver last week, Kendrick Bourne, 142 yards on 10 catches out of nowhere because of injuries to the starting receivers. Even if those receivers come back this week, we don't, like you said earlier, we don't know. But yeah. Is this guy a keeper in fantasy? Do we believe in Kendrick Bourne going forward?
Just because of the health of that wide receiver room, I think he would be one to keep on your roster. Now, if Pearsall and Jennings come back, I think he goes pretty close to irrelevant just because you're going to have Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be the leader in targets. Then that would put Kendrick Bourne back at fourth in the rotation of who's probably going to be getting looks. And I do think part of what he did last week helps. He was the only one. And he and Mac Jones have a great rapport going back to Mac's rookie year in New England where Kendrick Bourne was. So if Pearsall or Jennings is out, I still think Bourne would be a viable option this week and moving forward if one of the two is out or both.
Calvin Ridley came out of nowhere last week to get 131 yards. Before that, he only had crossed 30 yards once in receiving yards this year. Do we believe in him as a starter going forward? Very off and on this year.
Yeah, I don't think I'm drinking the Calvin Ridley Kool-Aid. I've seen it too much the last 2 years where, again, he has the talent, and it could happen because we saw what happened last week. He still has the explosiveness, but that offense, I would not buy that going forward.
Darren Waller, you talk about a guy on the a future list for comeback player of the year. You can get him at decent odds right now. He didn't even play last year, but last week he had 5 receptions, 78 yards. He's played 2 games this year. He has 3 touchdowns. Do we believe in that going forward, or is this just a flash in the pan for the Dolphins?
No, I absolutely believe in it going forward, mostly because Tyreek Hill is gone. So that offense is now Jaylen Waddle, Devon Achane out of the backfield, and who else? I mean, it's Darren Waller. And they're continually – now, he didn't have very many – he may not have even had a catch in the second half of the week, the game this past week. But he had the production. It's there, and they're looking for him in the red zone. He's getting red zone targets. He's getting middle-of-the-field targets. So I really believe in Darren Waller, especially with tight ends. I mean, it is a wasteland like it is every single year, but more so this year with the injuries. Trey McBride hasn't been great. Bowers is out. So if Waller is still on your waiver wire, which he's probably not, ESPN, it says he's only rostered in 48% of leagues. I find that hard to believe. He's going to be close to 90%, I feel like, after waivers run tonight.
I need help, Jimmy. Give me three guys right now owned in less than 50% of leagues I could pick up today that will help me this week.
I'm going to keep Darren Waller off this just because I feel like he's okay. Going to be owned. But go out there and look. Look for Darren Waller. Look for Rico Dowdle. Make sure they're not owned. If they are not, pick them up. But for guys that are under that, Michael Carter's at the top of the list. I would put Hassan Haskins with the Chargers up there as well. And Romeo Doubs, who was probably dropped a couple weeks ago because the Packers were on bye last week. He's owned in just over 40% of leagues. He's got the Bengals and Cardinals coming up the next couple weeks. So Romeo Doubs, I think, could be a big difference maker. Don't expect those two touchdown games to keep repeating themselves. But again, in Green Bay, he seems to be the number one.
Great stuff from Jimmy. Anything else that you'd like to add to us fantasy football squares out here?
Just a couple names. Isaiah Bond for Cleveland. He's only owned in 4% of leagues. He led the team in targets last week. Only 7 targets, which isn't great. But he did that on 57% of snaps. So he's one. If you can get him and you have room, stash him. See what it looks like the next couple weeks with Dylan Gabriel. And Mason Taylor at tight end. 6 or more targets in the last 3 games with the Jets.
Absolutely great stuff from Jimmy of the Matthew and Jimmy Show. Jimmy, tell us where we can find you on the social medias, your show, anything else you'd like to promote. Great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you.
Jimmy_radio on the social medias. And every weekday, 10 to noon, Matthew and Jimmy.
If you didn't get anything from the last few minutes, well, that's on you because Jimmy gave us some great fantasy football information right there. He is Jimmy Phillips of the Matthew and Jimmy Show. Jimmy, as always, we thank you, my friend. All the best to you. Until then, may the winners be yours, buddy.
Thank you, Brad.
Jimmy Phillips of the Matthew and Jimmy Show. But we've got other stuff going on in the sports gambling world, including Major League Baseball coming up today. And we'll look ahead at some more lines for the weekend. That's all coming up right here on ESPN Radio, 92.5 1300.
What I need. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor on ESPN 1300 AM and 92.5 FM.
Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Thanks for joining us on this Morris Day in the Time Tuesday. By the way, if you missed any of our fantasy football talk just now, make sure to go to ESPNLex.com and Jimmy will regale you with his knowledge of fantasy football. That was a great, great 20 minutes he gave us just now with information to help us hopefully get some waiver wire pickups and start winning these fantasy football leagues. That's what we're all trying to do here on ESPN Radio, 92.5 1300. Don't forget, you can text us 859-381-1313. Unlike yesterday, we have electricity here, so I'll be able to read them today. So, yeah, yesterday we had a ton of texts I saw after the show, but I couldn't get to them because of the craziness going on. But I'm much calmer today, kind of, sort of, I guess. But anyway, text us 859-381-1313. And if you're looking to get your action down, you know where to go. Go to our friends at Circa. They came down here last weekend. A lot of people came out to the Cellar Bar Grill and said hello, and we appreciate everybody who did, and we're very grateful for everybody who came out and said hi to us when we were out there this past weekend. But get your action down at the Circa. CircaSportsKentucky.com. CircaSports.com, but the Circa Sports Kentucky app. Get your action down. Download it on your smartphone. You'll be up and running before the end of the show. And if you need more information, go to CircaSports.com. The best, the highest limits, the lowest total, the holds, the best customer service, the best in the business is our friends at Circa. So make sure to get your action down. Sides, money lines, totals, props, you name it, they've got it. Live in-game wagering, too, they've got it at Circa. Sign up today, kids. You're back at school. What happened to fall break? It's long gone. No break till Thanksgiving for you. You don't even deserve that. But You must be 18 years old or older to bet legally on these apps. And if you have a problem gambling, call 1-800-426-2537. We appreciate you getting in on this Tuesday edition of The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Let's get some actionable information and try to pick some winners today. But first, Kentucky football. We'll start with them. We don't have a lot to say about them today. And we love the unactionable fanboy headlines. Here's a couple for us. Kentucky coaching confidence amid losing skid. What are the coaches confident in again? I'd like to know that. We look at the Kentucky schedule going forward, and yes, Texas is coming to town in 2 weeks. But do you honestly think that anybody from Texas right now is thinking one iota about their trip to Lexington a week from Saturday? No. They're all thinking about going to Dallas, Texas and the Cotton Bowl this week and facing number 6 Oklahoma. Number 6 Oklahoma is 5-0, 1-0 in the SEC. Texas is not even ranked anymore. 3-2, 0-1 in the SEC. Do you remember who was the number 1 ranked team in the preseason? It was Texas. And just like that, 2 games of losing and you're gone from the top 25. And remember Arch Manning, the great Heisman Trophy candidate? He was 6-1 to win the trophy before the year started. Guess what? He's 80-1 now. And let's just be blunt. It should be a lot more than 80-1. Probably another 0 at the end of that. Having said that, in the desert, there is no more money put on any player to win this Heisman Trophy this year than Arch Manning. Even Senator Feinbaum loved Arch Manning going into the season. But Texas is favored over Oklahoma. You mean it's a trap game, bottom line guy? It is a trap game. Texas is unranked, and they're a 1.5 favorite most places over number 6 Oklahoma. Things that make you go, indeed. If I'm betting this game, you're darn right I'm taking Texas. But that's this week. Texas comes to Kentucky next week. Like I said, you think they're thinking anything about Kentucky right now? Probably not. But Texas kind of projects to be a 2-touchdown-ish favorite in Lexington next week, barring anything crazy happening this week. So if you're Kentucky and if you're playing these games, you're 1-4 against the point spread this year if you're betting Kentucky games. And that one game you won against the spread, the opposing coach said after the game on national TV that he was sorry he let the other team cover the spread. So that should tell you where this Kentucky team is right now. And I'm not going to sit here and speculate over coaches and call people this and that, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? I'm trying to pick winners. And people have now kind of, I don't want to say given up on this team, but they've given up on this program for the time being. And that's why you see a lot of Kentucky basketball talk today and this week. Because A, Kentucky doesn't play. And B, when they do play, it's not very good. So for Kentucky football fans, good luck. Because the rest of the way, other than that one cupcake game in November, it's going to be rough. Like we said yesterday, they've dropped 9 consecutive games against Power 4 teams, and they've got 6 more this year, all of which they will be at least a touchdown underdog in every game. You think that's the way to get a program going? Probably not. And that's the bottom line when it comes to Kentucky football right now here on ESPN Radio 92.5 and 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. The only thing anybody in this town wants to talk about right now is Kentucky basketball. And I guess rightly so. And yesterday it was all media day. And we heard Mark Pope speak for however long that was. And everybody was just so happy and impressed and glowing from what the coach told us about his team. Do you really think that that moved any lines out in the desert? It did not. Current odds to win the national championship. Purdue, your favorite, at 9-1. The next favorite is Houston at plus 950. Duke and UConn, both 13-1. Florida, 15-1. Michigan, 16. BYU, Mark Pope's former team, is 17-1. Better odds than his current team has. That doesn't say anything about anyone. The fact that Mark Pope's former team now has better odds to win the national championship than his current team does? Oh, that's heresy, bottom line guy. No, that's just me reading these numbers. I'm just reporting the facts here. St. John's at Ricky P, 17-1, and then Kentucky at 18-1. Oh, by the way, Louisville's the next choice at 20-1. There are 10 teams with better odds right now to win the national championship than Kentucky has. That's not me pooping or anything on Kentucky. That's just me saying what the odds in the desert are. So we can sit here and talk about all press conferences and all this and all that. This guy's going to the lottery. This guy's like the cut of his jib. We can talk about all that we want. But our friends in the desert are saying that Kentucky, there's 10 teams with a better shot than they have. I'm looking forward to when our good friend Ken Pomeroy, the Lord and Savior of basketball analytics. Boy, I haven't said that in a while. The Lord and Savior of basketball analytics. It's been since probably early April since I said that. But we're getting into that time of year now. I'm still looking every day at the Ken Pom. I bring up the Ken Pom site just to see, does he have his preseason numbers up yet? Every day I'm looking, and maybe you should be too, because don't worry, I'll tell you when they do. That's because I'm that crazy about it. And I've always said, I'm so crazy about the Ken Pom numbers. My login is my old AOL email address. That should tell you something about how long I've been following him. So yes, yesterday, media day was wonderful. Yeah, everybody feels good. Everybody says this is a team to watch. But our friends of the desert did not move anything based on yesterday's press conferences and talking. So keep that in mind when you're betting these games and looking forward to this season for Kentucky basketball. Another headline from the Unactionable Fanboy Network of headlines. Mark Pope says Louisville coach Pat Kelsey fight was really a big nothing. Sure it was. But you know, you talk about something that they're going to play off for a long time. This little fight, I'd like to see them actually go at it during a season game, but yeah, that'll never happen. Also, Mark Pope says Kentucky will do some full court pressing this season. Oh yeah, well that changes everything, doesn't it? You get this time of year, you're just going to write everything or anything to try to get some reaction from the LCAs, the lowest common denominator, the LCDs. So yeah, that's where we're at right now with Kentucky basketball. The 11th best odds to win the national championship. Act accordingly, Big Blue Nation, if you think that the odds makers are wrong. And no offense to the Big Blue Nation, I trust the odds makers a little bit more than I trust a fan base. And that's the bottom line when it comes to Kentucky basketball here at ESPN Radio 92.5 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. We mentioned it with Jimmy a little earlier. The Bengals have a new quarterback on the roster. His name is Joe Flacco. And now looking at the current odds, I actually have now seen the line in this game with Cincinnati and Green Bay move from 14.5 to 14 just in the last half hour or so. Really? Does that mean the people are thinking Flacco is going to play this week and the Bengals are actually trying? They haven't given up. Well, Jake Browning is still going to start, it looks like. The Desert still has him listed as the starter. So, yeah, a half-point difference for Joe Flacco. There you go, folks. We talked about this with Jimmy also. Bengals 500-1 to win the Super Bowl before the trade. Currently, 500-1 to win the Super Bowl after the trade. Go figure. That's how much Flacco is going to change things in Cincinnati. But they've moved the line a half point in this one. That's not good because I was looking to play the Bengals in this one. And getting them at 14.5, a magical number divisible by 7. Yeah, that's not one. That's not a good one. But there are still some 14.5s out there. Act accordingly, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, the Bengals are a little bit over their skis right now. Because, yeah, so far this year, there are only three teams. There are no teams in the NFL who are 5-0 against the spread. There are no teams in the NFL who are 0-5 against the spread. You talk about the great equalizer. There are no undefeated, there are no winless teams against the spread in the NFL this year. The best teams in the NFL against the spread, Colts, of course, Jaguars, and Lions. The 1-4 teams against the spread, Ravens, Raiders, Bengals. Not exactly what you would think going in, but yeah, there we have it, folks. The Bengals have underachieved, to say the least. And of course, if you're looking for teams to go over or under a total, No team is perfect except one. The Ravens are 5-0 to the over this year. That is because their defense is not very good. That's why they've gone over in every game. There are no other winless or undefeated teams going over or under totals. So there you go. But the Jaguars win last night. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But the Jaguars win and cover the spread, thankfully. And Travis Hunter goes over his yardage total, like we predicted here on this show that we hoped would happen. Jaguars went from, at the beginning of the season, 40-1 to win the AFC. Then last week, they were 20-1 to win the AFC. And then after Monday night, last night, they're 11-1 to win the AFC. Jaguars went on the road and beat San Francisco. They beat Kansas City at home. Who did they lose to? The Bengals. When Jake Browning had to take over mid-game for Joe Burrow. You talk about a game that might be in their rearview mirror rather large come playoff time. That game against the Bengals is one they're going to regret for a long time. But, yeah, there we go. So the Jaguars are big movers. Also, the Lions are big movers. They've won four in a row since that disaster on opening day. They have the most money on them to win the NFC. So those are how we're playing kind of these games in terms of what we're looking for in the NFL coming up. But coming up after the break, we will try to get some winners tonight in Major League Baseball. Look ahead to a few games that we might be looking at in college football in the NFL. Also, we will read some texts. It's all coming up right here on ESPN Radio 92.5 and 1300. ESPN Radio 92.5, 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Thanks so much for joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon. More stay in the time Tuesday. We appreciate you joining us here on ESPN Radio. Let's get to the text line, and we're going to go over some texts from yesterday due to our lack of electricity we didn't get to here on ESPN Radio 92.5 and 1300. We always appreciate the people who text into this show very much. Let's start with Breezy, who is claiming that his good friend is ChatGPT. I think it's a lot of people's good friend right now, Breezy. Good job. Looking at analytics for college football, he says ChatGPT tells him that TeamRankings.com is more analytical and predictive than NCAA.com. Yeah, NCAA.com is total raw data. I agree with that, Breezy, to 100%. The TeamRankings.com is totally what I prefer, if you're asking the one for there. So, using the TeamRankings.com, who is the only team in college football with the top 10 in yards per play and yards per play allowed? That team would be Oregon. And I'm going to sit here and tell you right now, that line against Indiana over this weekend, number 7 versus number 3, Indiana at Oregon, that line's sitting at 7.5. Man, do I really want to lay that chalk with Oregon? And I might just do it. I want to lay that chalk with Oregon. Breezy goes on. Other teams that are top 20 in both yards per play and yards per play allowed, Ohio State, Michigan, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, and Old Dominion. Old Dominion's in there. I guess they're playing the cupcakes all the time. So, fraud alert, though, for Breezy. There are two teams that are in the top 10 of the AP poll that are outside the top 20 in both yards per play allowed, Alabama and Georgia. Fraud alerts is what Breezy is telling us. So, yeah, good stuff from Breezy, as always. We appreciate you, buddy, and keep hustling. I like the team rankings and yards per play. One of my favorites is yards per play. Let's look at Mark Sullivan texted yesterday. He said, hey, this is Mark Sullivan. Made a little money off Penn State loss as well this weekend. So, yeah, Mark Sullivan got in on the Penn State. I hope he had the money line with UCLA. That was a crazy 24.5 points was the point spread of that one, UCLA over Penn State. He had a good horse racing weekend at Keeneland. Yeah, Mark Sullivan was on fire this week. He gives a shout-out to all Race Monkey, Breezy, Anthony, Miss Judy, yours truly. Thank you, Mark. All the best to you, buddy. And we hope you're doing well here, as always. Also, yesterday we had a brought to you by the number 9 show, where we talked about the 9 consecutive losses. A texter texts in, Shirley, you mean banner number 9, not loss number 9. No, Shirley, please stop calling me Shirley. No, I do not mean banner number 9. Good luck with that this year. Desert says good luck with that as well, because you might need it. So, yeah. Hey, the Doc Rat came in yesterday. And he liked the Jaguars last night, getting the 3.5. We were on the Jaguars as well. That was a nice game for us. And he goes, I hope you agree because I've already placed those bets. So, yes. Yeah, good call by you, Doc Rats. Good to hear from you again. Yeah, Doc Rats always been a good texter of our show. So, yeah, there we go. And, of course, Captain Sunshine. What's his name? Professor Brightside, Captain Sunshine. Yeah, whatever we call him. The man who never texts anything nice into the show, just always stuff. Anyway, yesterday, he said, don't forget to mention how lucky you were to hit that Alabama point spread. You went on and on and still are all about Kentucky getting so lucky to cover against Ole Miss. Yeah, I did say I was all over Alabama last week getting the point spread. And if you don't think that sometimes getting lucky helps you as a point spread player, it does. It really does. So, yes, I was on Alabama last week, and Alabama did cover the point spread. The name of the show is The Bottom Line. Did you cash your ticket or did you not cash your ticket? If you did, it doesn't matter how you got there, you're still cashing the ticket. So, yes, Captain Sunshine, we did cash in on Alabama last week. I hope you did, too. All the best to you. Although, yeah, you say we got lucky. You're darn right we got lucky, but we cashed the ticket. That's all that matters. That's all that matters here. Also, here's another texter. I forgot the name on this one. I can't see the name on this one. Anyway, I would like to say that I love Tennessee Tech when they come to Lexington. And talking about, look at their scores so far. Tennessee Tech, yeah, that game's far down the line. Kentucky will be a big cupcake-type favorite. Probably more than 2 touchdowns, but Lord knows by then what Kentucky will be, and Lord knows what Tennessee Tech will be. But our texter here is saying, you know what? I am definitely rolling with Tennessee Tech in that. I think this is Anthony. I think this is Anthony. Yeah, it is Anthony. So, yeah, good job by you, Anthony. We're definitely going with Tennessee Tech if we can get enough points. Maybe that'll be that under 50 rule that we've already won twice with Kentucky so far this year. We thank all the texters. 859-381-1313. Again, yesterday we had a power outage here, and it didn't go well. But hey, we're back. We're better than ever. And guess what? We've got Major League Baseball tonight. How have you been doing in the Major League Baseball playoffs? Has it been difficult? Yeah, sometimes it feels like it is. Other times it feels like it's easy. In this round of the playoffs, underdogs 5-3. That's good for us. I can promise you that's good for us. Home teams also 5-3. So far in the entire playoffs, unders are 11-8. So there you go. Odds to win the World Series MVP right now. It is Shohei and everybody else. Shohei is 4-1. Second choice, Vlad Guerrero, 14-1. In other words, Shohei is the way to go if you're betting World Series MVP. Last year's MVP, Teoscar Hernandez, 20-1. So there you go. And Aaron Judge, 25-1, if you're still a Yankees fan. Odds to win it all, Dodgers plus 175, rightly so, after winning the first two against the Phillies in Philly. Blue Jays, your American League best bet, plus 375. Phillies, the worst bet, 25-1. So, yeah, and more than 20% of the money is on the Dodgers to win it all since the opening day. In other words, people are betting on these Dodgers. But what about tonight's games? We got the American League playoffs going tonight. You can hear both games on ESPN Radio starting this afternoon at 3:30. Is that where we're going tonight? Yes, the playoffs start this afternoon. And at 3:30, it'll be Mariners and Tigers. 7:30, Blue Jays and Yankees. Good day for a baseball fan. It's always a good time of year. For the Mariners tonight, Logan Gilbert. He's going for the Mariners. Jack Flaherty. For the Tigers, Flaherty pitched well in the opening round. But the Mariners are favored here in this one. About a plus 145-ish, depending on where you shop in this one. But they opened at minus 135. A little bit of sharp action to Detroit. But if you know anything about us, you know how we're playing these games this week. Give me the Tigers at home. This series tied right now at one game apiece. I'm taking the team that is getting no love out of the desert. 61% of the tickets, 67% of the money is on the Mariners to win this game. fading the public with the dogs. Playoffs. When you fade the public, you do very well over the years. You hit 50% of your bets. Oh, that's not very good. 358 up, 354 down. But remember, you're taking underdogs most of the time on the money line. So your return on investment is 9.5%. But if you do that with a home team, it's even better. Playing playoff teams at home that are getting less than 50% of the money line bets, you hit 57% over the years. All these are dogs usually too. 148 up, 114 down. The return on investment, 11.8%. This year, it's 2-2, but you're getting a 4% return on investment. In other words, the dogs are valuable, and we're taking the dog here in Detroit, getting the number at home against Logan Gilbert and the Mariners here in this one. Total opened at 8, still sitting at 8 most places. Yeah, I'm going to take the under the total here, too. We've been playing those throughout the playoffs. Unders are 11-8 so far in these playoffs, so if you just grinded them all out, you're still doing okay. You're making a profit. That's what we're trying to do. Give me the under the 8. Mariners, Tigers here. That's game one. You can hear that at 3:30 here at ESPN Radio. Let's get to the big one tonight in the Bronx. The Blue Jays are looking to close this thing out against the Yankees. And tonight, Justin Bieber going for the Blue Jays. Oh, insert joke here. Rodon going for the Yankees. We've seen a little bit of the sharp money here actually come in on the Yankees today. They opened about a minus 148. They're currently minus 161 here in this one. That is a definite steam play where you see the action kind of moving the line here in this one. Bieber and the Blue Jays. Do you really think they can end this right here? They're getting less than half the money. I'm taking the Blue Jays here in this one. And let the people kind of mark this up for the Yankees. I'm taking Bieber and the Jays in this one, getting about a plus 136 right now most places. Total here opened 8, still sitting at 8. Boy, I don't really want to take the under in this one, but I will. I'm taking the under here. But if there's one bet that I'm looking at tonight and saying, man, maybe we shouldn't go with this one, there's going to be some runs today in this one, Toronto and New York. But I'm still going to play the under. So our Mac Daddy Stogies tonight in the world of Major League Baseball. Let's stick with our game plan. Stick with the system. Don't disturb this groove. Fade the public. Give me both teams that are underdogs today. Give me the Tigers and give me the Blue Jays. And let's go under the 8 in both games with the Tigers and the Yankees at home. Those are your Mac Daddy Stogies here on ESPN Radio. Take those to the desert and smoke them. Thanks for joining us. Coming up after the break, we'll figure out what we learned on this show today. We figured out that running back for Arizona cost me $18 million. No jokes yet, Miss Judy. It's too soon. That's coming up here on ESPN Radio, 92.5 and 1300.
Bright lights say they're gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire.
ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. What did we learn today on the bottom line? Well, our good friend Jimmy from the Matthew and Jimmy Show gave us all the fantasy football and player prop information we need going forward to hopefully win a game in your league this week. It's week 6 of fantasy football already. Yikes. And away. This has gone by very quickly. We also talked about Kentucky football. What do you do during a bye week? You hope the other team doesn't win an unranked trap. And we talked about Kentucky basketball. All the words Mark Pope says, they're not going to change the odds of the desert just yet. And, of course, our picks in Major League Baseball for tonight, both American League games. If you miss it, ESPNLex.com or go download the app. Thanks so much for joining us, getting your side hustle on. Don't forget our book, Side Hustle, still available at Amazon and in person at Joseph Beth. Also, don't forget the daily lineup here on ESPN Radio. It is Matthew and Jimmy, weekdays 10 to noon. Alan Cutler, noon to 2. Yours truly, 2 to 3. Paul Feinbaum, Senator Feinbaum, and the best of the SEC from 3 to 3:30 today when we go to the American League Divisional Series. 3:30, Mariners-Tigers, 7:30, Blue Jays-Yankees. Thanks for joining us, and until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours. King, how about getting us some Fade the Publix American League style tonight? Thank you. Thank you very much.